If you have your Bibles, you want to turn them to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. It's about a third of the way through your Bible. You'll flip back and you should run into it. And this passage is one that I actually taught on about 5 years ago. We are doing one of our three-day fasts. Every January as a church, we take 3 days to fast and pray and seek the Lord as we head into a new year. Over, you know, whatever the situations we're going through, you know, we want to take time to pray and seek Him. But today we're going to take a look at it from a little bit different perspective, a little bit different direction. That's one of the things I love about Scripture is that the Word of God is living and active. And so there are times where you read through a passage and the Lord speaks to you, and then you're walking through something else in life and you read the same passage and the Lord speaks to you again, but in a totally different way. And for me, this passage has been very personal to me over the last 12 months. You know, as we have navigated stuff in our lives, my wife and I, over the last 12 months, we walked through a bunch of difficult situations. But God kept bringing me back to this passage of Scripture. And so as I read through it, it was a good reminder for me that as I'm walking through things of the steps I need to be taking in my life to keep the Lord a priority and to walk through our situations. You see, there are many of us in here today that are walking through a bunch of different things in our lives. Some of them are small issues that we're working with. For some of them, you're facing a seemingly impossible situation and you don't know what to do. Could be something with a marriage, could be something with our jobs, our finances, and our family, but it seems like all of us have stuff that we're walking through. You see, the fact is that anxiety is at the highest levels it's ever been in our country. In 2019, there was a poll taken that said about two-thirds of adults in America said they were dealing with high levels of anxiety and stress and depression, and that was 5 years ago. A lot's changed in our world over the last couple of years, and I think all of us are walking through and navigating through things in our lives today. We all have stuff to deal with. And as we're carrying that weight and we're carrying that worry and we're carrying that stress, there are people in our lives, very well-meaning and well-intentioned, that want to speak into the process, that want to speak into our lives, and they'll share passages of Scripture like 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. This is on your outline. And it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." You just need to take your anxiety and your worry and your stress and just give it to God. And that's true. It's what the Bible tells us to do. But if you're like me, you start to ask yourself, well, what does that mean? How do I cast my anxieties and my cares and my worry and my stress upon the Lord? And so today in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to see how the nation of Judah deals with their impossible situation, the steps that they take to seek the Lord and to have Him help navigate the situation that are in. But before we jump in, we take a look at some quick background context. This will take place around 865 BC. The nation of Israel is now divided into two kingdoms. You have the northern kingdom of Israel, and they were kind of the wicked kingdom. It says that they were constantly worshiping idols. They had drifted away from God. And so the southern kingdom of Judah breaks off, and they are the nation that is the pretty good kingdom. They had their struggles, but for the most part, kept their focus on the Lord and what the Lord was calling them to do. And during this time, the king of Judah, his name was Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. It says that Judah was healthy under his reign and that he did a good job pointing people back to the Lord. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, it says that Jehoshaphat comes out of the battlefield, and when he gets there, he hears about all the altars that have been built throughout Judah to false idols, and he tears them down and he turns the nation of Judah back to the Lord. But just like it is for Jehoshaphat in this story today, it feels like in our lives that some of our greatest victories are followed by some of our biggest battles. We don't have a whole lot of time to sit there and celebrate the victory because we're heading into something else. And so for the nation of Judah, they are now worshiping and have their focus on the Lord, but immediately there's a battle on their doorstep. And so let's take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And it says this: "Now it came about after this, after they started worshiping the Lord again, that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. And so I'm going to put a map on the screen to kind of illustrate what's going on right now in this situation. So we have the two kingdoms, Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. And it says the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites, the three surrounding countries, have all decided to join forces, bring their armies together, and attack the nation of Judah. And not only that, it says at this point that they are located in En Gedi. That's about 25 miles southeast of the city of Jerusalem, where Jehoshaphat is during this time. And so on your outline, I want you to write this down. Judah was facing an impossible situation. Judah was facing an impossible situation. You see, not only were they 25 miles outside of the city, so there was not a whole lot of time to respond, but this was a much, much larger army than the nation of Judah's army. And so there was nothing they can do. They're coming to attack. They know they can't win the battle. And there's not a lot of time to react. So Jehoshaphat, in verse 2, it says, Jehoshaphat was afraid, as many of us would be, and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And so we're going to take a look at the five things that the nation of Judah does today in their impossible situation to turn it over to the Lord. And the first one, the first step towards casting off our anxiety is fasting and seeking the Lord, is fasting and seeking the Lord. And the thing I love about it is Jehoshaphat was afraid, but immediately he says that he turns to seek the Lord and he commands the nation to fast. You see, if we were Jehoshaphat in this situation, there's multiple things we could do. The first thing is that Jehoshaphat could have panicked, and I think many of us do that in our situations. We start to panic, we overthink, we worry, we get stuck in that loop, and we can't stop thinking about whatever situation is we're facing. Jehoshaphat could have been angry with God. You see, he did what he was called to do. He's the king of Judah. He gets them back to worshiping God, and this is kind of his reward. You know, you're going to send an army to attack me after I just did what you asked me to do, God? So he could have been angry. Jehoshaphat could have tried to fix the problem himself. And again, a lot of us are really good at that, trying to fix our issues ourselves. He could have sent the army out and said, look, you know, they're attacking us. Let's fight back and go out and do that. But instead, it says that he took time to fast and seek the Lord. And I think all of us can probably think of a time in life where we wish that that was our first step. Before we try to fix things ourselves, as we sit there worrying about our situation, that if I would just turn to God and spent time with him and asked him what it is you want to do, that things would have turned out better. But one of the things I want to encourage you with today is that for those of us that are struggling in our anxiety, in our stress, in our worry, those things aren't bad. It's bad when they become such a part of our life that we can't let it go. But anxiety and worry is our body telling us now is the time, whatever situation you're facing, to seek the Lord. As afraid as we are, as scared as we are, as much worry as we have, that anxiety is telling me now is the time to turn it over to God, to seek God. And fasting is an important discipline for us as we do that. And it's so important that even Jesus did it. Whenever Jesus does something in scripture, I always take note because it's something that's very important for us as followers of Jesus. Before he started his ministry, it says that he took 40 days and 40 nights and he fasted in the wilderness. And then in Luke chapter 4, it says, and Jesus returned to Galilee after he'd fasted in the power of the Spirit. And so for us, when we're facing this situation, the first thing we do is we want to seek the Lord, and fasting is a huge part of that process. If you don't know what fasting is, on your outline, it says fasting is abstaining from food for a period of time for a spiritual purpose. For a spiritual purpose. There's a lot of people doing intermittent fasting now, good for your health, all the benefits in that, but there's always a spiritual purpose attached to when we fast and seek the Lord. We exchange our physical nourishment for spiritual nourishment. So the time I would spend eating my meals, I'm going to spend time intentionally in prayer, intentionally in his word, intentionally seeking him out. God, what is it you want to do in this situation? If you have questions about fasting, you want to know more about it, Pastor Drew taught about it just a couple months ago in January. I'd encourage you to go to our teaching library and take a listen because this is such an important discipline for us. So the army is 25 miles outside of the city. Jehoshaphat says, let's take the time to fast and pray. So the lesson for us is that whatever you are facing, there is always time to seek the Lord. And that needs to be our first step. God, what is it you want to do? Then in verse 5 and 6, it continues on. It says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in heavens? Are you not the ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand against you. So the second thing they do and the second step towards casting off our anxiety is prayer, So it says they fasted and then Jehoshaphat stands up in front of Judah and he prays. And oftentimes in scripture, almost always, you'll see fasting and prayer linked together. Again, the idea is that when we fast, we're spending intentional time with God. We're talking to him, we're speaking to him, we're reading his word, and we're intentionally spending time with him. So fasting and prayer go hand in hand with one another. And for us as the believer, prayer is our supernatural connection to God. Wherever we're at, whatever we're walking through, God hears us and he hears our prayers. And he will communicate with us through our prayers. You see, we have access to God at all times. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him. And that's such a powerful statement for us. That if you're going to God and you know he hears you, you know you have the answer. And I hope that that's our attitude towards prayer, is that we're approaching God with boldness and just claiming his promises for us, knowing that he is hearing us and he is going to answer us. And as a believer, prayer is a lifestyle. It's something that we just do. It's part of who we are day in and day out. We spend time in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, don't stop. You wanna be in a continual attitude of prayer and communication with God, keeping our focus on him. You see, I think a lot of us tend to treat prayer like the genie in the bottle, right? You pull it off the shelf, I have a need, God, I need something, and you rub the lamp and you say, God, here's my request. And then we take it and we put it back on the shelf and then we'll get back to it the next time I need something. And that's our attitude towards prayer. But prayer is to be a continual process in our life. As a follower of Jesus, he is listening to our prayers. When we're walking through a situation, we don't just say, hey, God, help me, and then we leave it there. We continually pray and talk to God about our situation. We need to be in a continual attitude of prayer. Whether my life is good right now or my life is bad right now, I'm gonna seek the Lord in prayer. Psalm 46:1 reminds us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always there with us, listening to us, and there alongside of us as we walk through our stuff in life. So make prayer an ongoing and daily practice. But the other thing before we move on to note is that Jehoshaphat stood before the assembly, stood before all of Judah, and he prays out loud. He prays out loud. And this is a practice that I'm getting myself back into now. It's, you know, the growth process in life as we try and be like Christ is there are things that we do and then we kind of forget about it and we move on. But this is a practice that I'm starting again in my life, is audible prayer to God. When I'm by myself, whether it's in a bedroom or in my car, or driving to work, whatever it is that I'm speaking my prayer out loud. And so the idea is that as we speak things, as you speak scripture, as you speak the promises, and you start hearing those, we start to believe them. And it also keeps me focused when I pray. If you're like me and you sit in your room and you're praying in your head, you start praying and then all of a sudden you're worried about, well, I gotta go to work and do this. This weekend we got this coming up. This person's coming into town. Your mind starts to drift onto everything else except talking to God. But when I speak audibly and I pray audibly, it helps me keep focused on the task at hand, that I'm seeking the Lord and I'm standing before the Lord in prayer. But we will come back to this towards the end of the teaching. So as Jehoshaphat's prayer continues, we want to notice how he is approaching God. And here's what it says starting in verse 7. It says, did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine We will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us from your possession, which you have given to us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming out against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I think for many of us, this is where we find ourselves today as we face the stress and we face the anxiety and we just want God to respond and answer our prayer, is that we feel powerless over our situation and we don't know what to do. I don't know what step to take. God, I don't know what you're trying to show me. I don't know what to do. But Jehoshaphat's response is, our eyes are on the Lord. Our eyes are on you. So we are powerless. We can't win this battle. I don't know what to do. I don't know the step to take, but we're gonna look to God and he's gonna speak and he is going to give us the steps to take. And as he prays, he is taking the time to remind God of his promises for the nation of Israel. He said, look, God, this is your land. This is your possession. And you're gonna let them come and take it from you? He goes, this is yours. And so he's claiming the promise for Israel that this is their land. And they believe, God, you will deliver us. So on your outline, I want you to write this down. We talk about this a lot here at Calvary. But when you pray, pray God's promises. When you pray, pray God's promises. You see, our impossible situations become a lot easier when we claim God's promises for us. And his word is filled with them for us. We need to believe them and pray them over our situation, read them over and over, believe that God will deliver you out of your situation, just like the nation of Judah believed, God, you will deliver us because this is your land. You're not gonna let them come in here and take it from us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. So the idea is that when we are down, when we are struggling, when all we think about is the situation that we're in, that is the time to lean into his promise. That's the time to lean into his promise, not try and fix the issue ourselves or just move on without the help of the Lord, but I'm gonna lean in and I'm gonna claim your promises, God. This is your possession and you gave us this land. If you're here today and you don't have one yet, we have promise booklets at the Welcome Center and they're free, you can take them. Pastor Dan through the years has written promises on note cards. We took them, we compiled them into a little booklet that we pass out. And so if you don't have one, I encourage you to grab one, take it home, and whatever it is you're walking through, pray scripture and pray the promises over your situation and let him work in your situation. So we fast and we pray, and this leads us to the next step, and this is a quick one, but an important one. In verse 13, it says, all of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. So on your outline, the third step towards casting off our anxiety is being in community. The idea is that you cannot navigate your situation and your life alone. You can't do it alone. You have to have a community of believers around you that are praying for you, that are supporting you, that are speaking life into your situation, that are walking through the mess with you. We can't do it alone. If you don't have a community, I'd encourage you to go to the Next Steps area right out in the lobby. We have a ton of groups going on. Find a place to serve in the church. You'll serve with other people that want to do life with you, but you've got to find a community of believers that are going to be there walking through it with you because you cannot navigate it alone. So we need to find community. And so God responds to their prayer next, and many of us need to hear his response today as we face our situations head on and we are stuck in that space in our mind. And here's how God responds to the nation of Judah. He says, then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, and the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, you can take this to the bank, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. And I want you to underline this next line in your Bible. He says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. And that's the whole idea behind casting off our anxieties and giving them to God, is like, he wants the battle. He wants to fight for you. The Bible, again, is filled with verses about casting our burdens on him so you can have things like peace and rest, because he wants to take it on for you. The battle isn't yours. Whatever you're walking through today, the battle isn't yours, it's the Lord's, but we have to take steps in order to hand it off and hand it over to him and trust in him. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, many of us here are seeking peace in our lives today. We're seeking peace in our situation. And the Bible tells us right here, by everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let it be known to God. And he'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense that what you're walking through, you have such peace that comes from God when we give our anxieties and we give our cares to him and we realize that the battle is not yours. And so the fourth step on your outline, and the fourth step towards casting off our anxiety, is acknowledging that this is not my battle. This is not my battle. And so next, the prophet reveals God's plan. He says, here's the strategy by which I want you to take this on. In verse 16 and 17, it says, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up from the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. So when we seek the Lord and we spend time fasting, we spend time in prayer, and we do these things, the Lord begins to reveal direction to you. Here's how you're going to navigate the situation that you're facing. And God gives Judah steps to take. He says, look, in the morning, you're going to get up, you're going to go out to the battlefield, you're going to stand there and position yourselves in front of their army, and don't be afraid, because you won't have to fight. Didn't make sense to them at the time, but they knew that God was speaking and that God had a plan. And so they had steps that they had to take in the process. And I think oftentimes we miss our role in the process. You see, God wants us to do these things, but we have to take a step and do them so that he can work in our situation. You see, the Bible said, just as we just read, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and then you will have peace. You don't get the peace without taking the step and saying, God, I'm giving this over to you. The Bible says to delight yourself in the Lord. When he becomes the Lord of your life and the joy of your life, when we do that, those things, and we take that step, it says, then he will give you the desires of your heart. And to Judah, he says, look, you're gonna go out and face them. You're gonna go out to the battlefield. You're gonna march, and you're gonna stand there, and I will give you the victory. But there were steps that Judah had to take. They couldn't stay in Jerusalem and just let God deal with it. He says, there are steps that I want you to take. We have to remember, in our lives, there are steps that we need to take, because our faith is an active faith. It's not a passive faith where we just sit there and say, God, I'm gonna let you deal with all of it and I'm not gonna do anything. We are a part of the process, but we have to take the steps. We have to walk, and we have to go out to the battlefield and face it and let God and trust him with the result. So God lays out this plan, and then Jehoshaphat comes to Judah and he reveals his strategy for, here's how we're gonna do this. In verse 18, it says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. when he had consulted with the people, and I love this, here's Jehoshaphat's strategy, and they're walking into war. He says, when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And so they're marching out into battle, and he says, let's grab the band, get the guitars and the drums and the keyboard, and you guys are gonna lead us into battle. Okay, we're not gonna lead with our arrows and our swords and our chariots. He's like, we're gonna sing, and we're gonna walk out there, and we're gonna praise. And that needs to be our attitude towards our situation today. You see, they knew that God had given them the victory. They hadn't seen the victory. They hadn't even stepped into the battle. But they made the choice right there that we were gonna praise God and let our praise lead us into the battlefield. And so whatever we're facing today, that needs to be our attitude, is that in the valley, in our situation, we are going to choose to praise God before we see the victory. We're gonna choose to praise him before we see the victory. And then in verse 22 and 24, I want you to highlight the first word there. It says, when. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. As soon as Judah started praising God, it says, then God turned them against each other, and they defeated each other before they even got there to see what was going on. God had responded to their praise. He responded to them giving thanks for the victory before they even stepped into the battle. So on your outline, the final step towards casting off our anxiety is praise. The final step towards casting off our anxiety is praise. And as we wind down today, I want to unpack this a little bit. We could teach for weeks on the topic of praise. It's such an important piece of the puzzle for us, is that we spend time praising the Lord. But the phrase praise the Lord appears over 2,000 times in Scripture. Over 2,000 times in Scripture, you see the phrase praise the Lord. You see, as believers, praise will activate our faith. As we spend time giving praise to the Lord and giving him thanks. And like prayer, praise is a lifestyle for us. It's not something we do when we come to church on Sunday mornings and we sit in the service and we sing a few songs and then we go home and then next week we come back and we do it again. It is a lifestyle. The scriptures remind us in Philippians 4:4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. Praise him at all times. Let his praise be continually be in your mouth. And that means whatever you're facing, however bad the situation is right now, let praise be continually coming out of your mouth. God will respond to our praise. Pastor Dan shared the story a few weeks ago. There was a woman in our church who met him in the lobby and said, you know, I'm praying for a husband. You know, I've been praying for a husband for a while now. God hasn't given me the answer to my prayer. And so Dan encouraged her. He said, look, here's what I want to encourage you to do. He's like, let's stop asking God to give me a husband. Let's start praising God and giving thanks for the husband he has selected for you. And so we're going to start thanking God for the victory before you see it. And so she leaves and she comes back a couple weeks later and she runs to Dan. She goes, you're never going to believe this. I started praising God, but I met somebody. God brought somebody into my life. And just this past December, I had the opportunity to marry them here in Jupiter. And it's a response to their praise. And there are so many stories like that, that when we choose to change the way we approach God and we say, God, I'm gonna approach you with thanksgiving and praise, despite what I'm facing, despite I see no way out, I don't know what to do, I'm worried and I'm scared, is that I'm gonna approach God with praise and be thankful for all he's gonna do and be thankful for giving me the victory. My question for you is, are you praising God for the work he has yet to do in your situation? Are you taking the time to praise? You see, sometimes praise can be very difficult. Some of us just don't like to sing. We don't like to worship, which is not who we are. And for some of us, we're facing a situation so bad right now, the last thing I feel like doing is being thankful and praising God because I'm so worried about whatever it is that we're walking through. But praise can be difficult. But I want you to hear this today. Everything we have talked about today is a choice. It's a choice that we have to make. I have to choose to spend time seeking the Lord. I have to choose to fast. I have to choose to pray. I have to choose to find my community. I have to choose to praise God no matter what I am walking through. It's all a choice. And God will respond as we take steps of faith and we seek him in our situation. We have to make the choice to praise him despite what we're facing. See, Hebrews 13:15 says it this way, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And I love this verse because it reminds me of two things. Number one, there is that when we praise, sometimes it takes sacrifice. Sometimes it takes sacrifice. God, I don't want to praise right now. I don't want to walk in there and sing. I don't want to give you thanks because my life is terrible right now. But it's a sacrifice of praise that when life is good, I'm gonna choose to praise. When life is bad and I don't want to, I'm going to choose to praise. Even when I feel awkward and I'm in my car by myself singing as I drive down the road, or I'm sitting in the midst of hundreds of other people and gonna sing out loud and it feels awkward for me, I'm going to choose to praise. And the second thing that we see in that verse is that when we praise, we wanna do it audibly. You wanna do it audibly. Sing out loud. It says that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And so I encourage you to pray and sing out loud and let that activate your faith. As awkward as it might seem for you, take time to sing and to pray out loud. And if you're here today and this is you, and you don't feel like praising, there's a couple of things I wanna encourage you with. This isn't on your outline, but you can write them down if you want. For me in my life, this is what I do, is that I keep a list on my iPad of all the things that I'm thankful for. Everything from the biggest things to the smallest things, I just write down, God, here's what I'm thankful for, my house, my family, you know, et cetera. It can be anything that you want. And the second thing you're gonna keep a list of is all the ways that God has brought you through different situations. Here are all the times that God has shown up. We all can think back through our life and say, man, I was in a really bad situation here and here's how God brought me through. We're all here today and we all have those stories. And so take the time to write down what you have to be thankful for and how we're thankful for God for all the situation he's delivered us in. And then every day, spend time reading over all of those things you have to be thankful for. Thank God for all the things that he's brought you through, and thank God for the victory over whatever it is you're walking through now. But focus on giving thanks and giving praise to God. And then in verse 27, here is the result of their praise. It says, every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned to Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave them rest on all sides. So on your outline, I want you to write this down. Praise bookends our impossible situation. Praise bookends our impossible situation. Here's what I mean by that. Judah chose to praise when they were facing an impossible situation. They said, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, God, and we're gonna go out and lead into the battle with praise and thanksgiving to God. And then when God gave them the victory, their response was coming back into Jerusalem and spending time singing and praising the Lord for the victory that he had given them, that he had promised them. And so it's the bookends to our situation. Wherever you're at in your situation right now, we wanna choose to praise. And the result was joy in their lives. The result was peace for the nation of Judah. And the result was rest on all sides, because of what they allowed God to do, and they chose to praise him. In the same way, we wanna praise God in our situation. And as we close today, this is not something we typically do, but I'm gonna ask the worship team to come back out. And here's what I've noticed, at least in my life, is that oftentimes we come to church and there are things that we need to hear, maybe that we don't want to hear, but we need to hear. And there are things that we need to be reminded of and things that we need to put into practice in our lives. And we say, you know what, I need to start doing that. And then we leave and we forget about it and we don't take steps. And so what we're going to choose to do today is that wherever you're at in your situation, if you're facing something today that you don't know the answer and you don't know how to work through that situation, we're going to choose to praise God for the victory in that situation. And if you're in here today and you say, you know what, my life's pretty good, then we're going to offer up a praise of thanksgiving for where you are at. And we're going to support those around us through our audible worship to God. And we're going to let this lead us out of this building today as we go on the attack, as we go on the offensive in our situations, and we're going to lead with praise and thanksgiving. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, we started with the verse, we're going to end with it. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so as we leave here today, we're going to leave with praise. And I want you to carry praise with you throughout the week. Whatever it is you're walking through, we're going to choose to do that. So they're going to sing, and then I'm going to come back out and close us in prayer. Matthew.
Let's all stand together.
Sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh, my.
2 Chronicles chapter 19, it says that Jehoshaphat turns the nation of Judah back to the Lord so that when they are faced with an impossible situation, their immediate response was, let's go back to God and let's look to Him. It isn't an overnight process, but we have the steps in place that we need to take steps to fast, to seek the Lord, to pray, and to choose to praise. To say, yes, I will choose to praise even in the worst moments of my life. And so my prayer is that we leave this place today and we carry that praise with us, that we choose to go into the battle with praise and thanksgiving, that God's going to give you the victory over whatever it is that you are facing in your life today. After the service, we'll have communion up front. There are prayer partners in the care room. If you need to pray with somebody, they would love to pray with you. But please join me as we pray. Father God, we are grateful for all that you do in our lives. And God, we are grateful for your word that is such an encouragement to us that no matter what we're walking through, God, we know that you are walking through it with us, that you are waiting for us to cast our burdens upon you so you can fight for us, so that you can grant us peace and you can grant us rest in our situations, Father. And so God, I pray for those in this room right now that are wrestling through a situation, God, that they will be surrounded by the Spirit, that you will surround them with your love, that you'll surround them with community that's going to walk through that situation with them. But may we choose today to claim victory over our situation, the victory that you have promised us, God. And we want to claim that and pray that over our situations today. So as we leave here today, may we leave with an attitude of praise. Jesus, we're so grateful for the cross. It is because of the crucifixion and the sacrifice that you made on the cross and the resurrection that we have hope in our current situation. So God, we give you thanks for that. Go before us this week. Keep us safe. And may you be glorified in all that we do. We love you. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.